If you don't create that type of result, go home. Go home. You don't have a business. You're not ready. The market's telling you you suck.
Yeah.
But if you can get to that point, that's a good indicator that, hey, you might be onto something.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. You guys, today we have a treat besides Trev and I.
Yeah, besides us. It's us too. We have a treat and then there's us.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So if you can introduce the treat.
You guys, we have some great friends. We're actually down in Las Vegas visiting them. And of course, we're excited to have them come on and share some things with us today. But I want to tell them real quick how we did meet, because I know we just talked about it on the mastermind call. First of all, we got Sean Malone and we got Chris Baden here. These guys are the co-founders and the owners of Flowchat, which is a really cool software. If you guys haven't heard about it yet, you will. These guys are blowing up. But I actually, a few years ago, had Sean in my messages. And he was, you know, kind of in there a couple few times, but so it didn't seem like a bot, you know, because yeah. I get a lot of messages, and some end up in the message requests, and it was actually Facebook. And so this guy hit me up a few times and I'm like, all right, yeah, what's up, man? And anyway, somehow, like, it felt so authentic that I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I'll hop on your calendar. We'll chat. You know, I get on there and he's like, oh no, that was one of our VAs in our whole software system and how this whole thing works. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I was like, oh my gosh, you got me, dude.
Yeah, you got me. Yeah, like if you want, well, prove to me that it works. I don't know. We're on the call.
It's pretty much.
We're on the call. You are actually your own beta test.
You'd be surprised.
So what card do you want to put the order on? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You'd be surprised how many people say, like, well, how do I know if it works? Well, we're on a call, right?
Exactly.
Like,
I say
that all the time.
I think we did actually have that conversation. But I was like, honestly, a couple conversations later, I had Corey jump on. I'm like, hey, jump on, because you do our marketing here. Like, let's, you know, help me vet these guys. And he's like, so skeptical. And by the end of the call, he's like, I love these guys. And you guys were just right down here in Vegas. So I'm like, let's go meet them. You know, anyway, so we've known these guys for I think it's been a few years or almost a few years since that first interaction. And it's just amazing what these guys have built so far. I'm excited to share more of your guys' story today.
Well, I mean, that's all cool and dandy, but there's some actual cooler stuff from what I hear. Somebody's famous in China.
Japan.
You can't mix them up.
It's sixes, though.
You can't?
Okay. Sorry. I just did.
Who's your audience?
You wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can be offended if you'd like. I'm not good.
I can't tell you where fucking South Carolina is, okay? And I live in the States. So, you know, geographic stuff, don't count on me for acing any of those tests. You know, so I'll mess that up probably again in the middle of this conversation. But I want to know, you've got a billion downloads, so I hear, on some music.
No.
And then we've got the American Ninja Warrior.
That's right.
Also, so the Flowchat thing is kind of a side hustle to the Japan or Chinese?
Japanese. Japan superstar.
Yeah, no, it was one of the things on my. Do you have a bucket list, Trevor?
No.
You know? Do you have a bucket list?
I have a couple, just a couple.
Okay, give me just one thing that was on your bucket list.
I want to take my whole family to Mexico for like a year and like live there, and all me and my kids, wife, everybody learn Spanish together.
Perfect.
That's like one thing I want to do. Like that's like a near future bucket list. Like within the next couple of years.
Let's go. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That sounds fun. Yeah. See, like when
Kel just made that sound so cool. I want his bucket list now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but bro, so when I read a book a long time ago in high school, and I was like, you should create a bucket list because the people that have more goals always achieve more in life. And so I started writing this bucket list, and it got to like thousands of things. And one of those things that was on the list was create an album and then have a song played on a radio. And I didn't know anything about music, right? And so I was like 14, and my dad bought me this guitar, and I sucked at it. So I just threw it away. I put it down. I never touched it again. Right. And then it wasn't until my sister's wedding, where she's like, hey, I'd like you to speak. And I was like, I don't want to speak. I don't know how to do all that. I was like, I'll just play a song at your wedding. And she freaking lit up about it. And she's like, okay, you got to play the guitar. And I was like, I don't even play the guitar, but I'll figure it out, right? So I picked up a guitar and I like learned this like one little strumming thing. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I sang at her wedding. And I got a standing ovation. I was like, whoa, I guess there's something there. And so then I was like, my bucket
list. And he's now going to be performing that song on the spot. Yes,
if you will. Where's the beat?
I'm retired.
He's retired. Nick, bring it up.
Yeah, so fast forward, I was like, man, maybe I could really make a run at this thing. I want to start playing guitar. Like when I go camping, I love camping. It's one of my things. And so I was like, a guitar would be a cool thing to bring. And so I started playing quite a bit of guitar and I was like, my bucket list. And now I know how to play the instrument. Like, let's make an album. So I spent thousands and thousands of dollars and I bought all this like really cool stuff. And I took out our second bedroom and I made it into a recording studio.
But when you put it all together, what was it called?
The Beat Lab.
The Beat Lab.
You got to have a Beat Lab.
You had a Beat Lab?
In my house. Lab. I did.
I don't have one.
You should get
you
one.
You said I got to have a gym beat in your house. That's now on my bucket list.
I have a bucket list. I'm going to get a fucking Beat Lab.
Yeah, that's it. You know? So, and then I ran into a buddy of mine who was like an amazing lyricist and he did rap. And I was like, well, I play guitar and we could rap and it'd be different, weird. And so then we created two albums. And we recorded them in my Beat Lab. And then we got all the artwork done. And then we pressed a bunch of CDs. And then we launched it on these websites. And next thing you know, I opened the thing and it says, you've sold 4,000 copies in Japan. And I was like, what are you talking about, right? So, like, that's where that came from.
It's huge in Japan.
Hey, the Japanese love American music, man. The Philippines do, too.
I guess.
If they don't even speak English, they still love American music.
I would have bought a plane ticket. You know how you hear those stories? People buy a plane ticket to go to L.A. and they don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to become famous. Dude, success leaves clues, bro. How much bigger of a clue do you need? You have 4,000 fans, dude.
That's just one cool story. Like, these guys have some incredible stories, and we've talked about some of them just from knowing you guys the last little while. But, like, Sean was also, like, a long-drive, world-ranked long-drive guy for golf. Hitting golf balls, right?
Really fun.
Chris was on American Ninja Warrior. Like, you guys have done some cool stuff. So, like, tell them a little bit about you, and then we'll jump into some of the business stuff that you're doing. It's really cool as well. But
sure,
love it. Love
you
it.
Want me to start? Where do I start? So athletic growing up, right? So my parents were very athletic. I came up playing sports, baseball primarily. I got drafted out of high school. I turned it down. Ended up going to a college that had a full ride for baseball, and then I finished that up. And then at the end, coming out, I decided I wanted to be a business geek because I'd always loved business, and I feel like that's, you know, like something that I was pretty good at. And so I kind of told this story earlier, and I'll tell it again. It was I only had one thing on my mind when I came out of college. It was like, how do I make a boatload of money? And so I asked my dad, because my dad had a little import-export business in cookware, and he's doing about $3 million a year. And I said, how do I make a boatload of money? And he said, well, three options. Number one, are you a CEO? At the time, I was like, I don't even know what those initials mean.
Yeah.
He goes, number two, are you an entertainer? And I was like, well, I can't sing or dance, right?
That's not true. We can't do this story.
This was pre-Japan.
3,000 records in Japan, ladies and gentlemen.
That could be triple, quad, platinum, dude. There, I don't fucking know.
That's hilarious. So then third thing, he goes, well, you better learn sales. And so I was like, okay, great. I'll go get a sales job. And so I took a job selling commodities, so like aluminum extrusions, electronics, stuff that everybody needs, nobody cares about, very heavy B2B, B2G kind of sales. And I sucked at it. For my first 6 weeks, every day I would had a manufacturer's directory of phone numbers, and I'd pick up the phone and I'd dial 80 calls a day. That was the number. And so for 6 weeks, I made 2,400 cold calls and I never booked a single appointment.
Yeah.
Really frustrating.
Yeah.
And I was at the level where I was like, okay, look, like I think I'm going to throw in this towel. I'm done. And my dad said, don't quit. Go to the library and read a book. So I was like, okay. So I picked up a book, Tom Hopkins, Mastering the Art of Selling Stuff. And I was like, oh, there's a formula. And so then I took the formula and I was like, maybe I can apply it because I was pretty good at school. And I started doing it. And I remember the first call, I'll never forget it, when I was going to try this little one phrase. That's all I was going to try. Like, I'm just going to try this one phrase. And I pick up the phone and I get in the conversation. I'm talking with the guy. And I get to this time where I'm supposed to deliver this little line to, like, book the call. And immediately I freeze, and I feel the neck hair stand up, sweat beads start coming down my forehead, and I'm like, blah, 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 and I totally messed up the line. And the guy just starts laughing on the other end of the phone. Like, it was a totally butchered. And he goes, Sean, I know what you're trying to do. Just come on over Tuesday at 9 a.m. And I was like, yes, I did it. I did it. And I was like, I had to keep my emotions cool. Got off the phone, hung up. And next thing you know, my boss comes around. His name was Tim. And he goes, Sean, what happened? And I said, he goes, did you just make a sale? Because I was like jumping around the office. And I was like, no, but I just booked an appointment. He goes, oh, get out of here, right? So I was like, but it was my first. It was like that moment. You know when you have a catalyst in your life that just totally like shapes where you're going to go and what you're going to do? It's like I fell in love with communication because I was like, I used a strategy and it worked. And I was like, I bet I could replicate that. And that was my mindset, even though I'd had all this failure prior
to
that.
You know what's funny about just listening to that is I honestly think as entrepreneurs, we chase the high. Just that same high that you talked about on something so minor that happened in your life in comparison to where you're at right now. But at the same time, it was so major because that was the pivotal moment that put you on the path that got you where you are right now. And just like a drug addict is chasing that initial high, it's never going to be the same, right? We're always chasing this, like, and it's, I think that we do it, you know, we start multiple business after business after business. And it's just like, even a check, your first $10,000 check or the first $100,000 dividend check that you got or that draw, you know, it's when you start making those pivotal, like life is changing, it's a different level of dopamine. It's a different level of accomplishment. And maybe it was that first 10 grand check that you got or the first 100 grand check or whatever it is. But then later on, you can look at a check that's $250,000 and it doesn't give you that same dopamine as the 10 grand one did. Because the 10 grand one meant something that things were changing. By the time you got $250,000 check, you already knew things were changing because you had to build up to that, right? And so there's some pivotal moments that I think that people go through in life, but they don't really notice them or they don't celebrate them or understand that they're even in a moment that is so pivotal. But if there's something like that that gets you that excited, that's the thing. Right? Like when you finally do something that gets you as excited as what you just stated, do whatever that was over and over and over again, because that is the thing that's going to make you rich.
I can't wait to see how far you go with your beat lab.
Oh, dude, I'm going to get lost in that fucking lab. I'm going to beat it, dude.
So many beats, dude. I will say about Sean, he was a great salesman. So, never pushy, nothing like that, right? Yeah. It was just easy to connect with them. And so, and their whole, like, and you guys at the time were just launching your flow chat, right? And it was kind of like the mastermind that you were offering to me to join, which I did join, was kind of like a built around like building this whole thing out with the system, right? And I was like, that's why I brought Corey in. Because I was like, dude, if I do this, like,
something's got to be built out. Corey!
Yeah. I'll go in there and talk and be a part of it, but you got to build it, bro. You're like the techie guy. So that's really why I had Corey involved, because I was like, bro, if I do this, like, you're going to have to help me build these like things out and assign these things to the VAs, all that stuff. But anyway, it was super valuable. And what I liked about your guys' mastermind is, like, first of all, they let me get in there and talk a little bit about us and stuff and promote us, which was really cool. But everybody in there was like winning, like every week when we jump on the calls or every couple weeks.
Yeah.
What was
every
it?
Week,
couple
every
weeks.
Week.
It was like people were like, yeah, I got a sell. And then it was like, I got five. And then it was like, I got 10. It was just like instant growth.
That's contagious.
Yeah.
That's contagious. Yeah. That's just momentum in general. Yeah, right?
I'm very proud about one statistic around that. Like when we started building FlowChat and really getting some momentum, we had through the mastermind 78% of the clients coming through, and there's dozens of them, dozens and dozens. So 78% of them are having that type of success.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was very fulfilling, because where I came from prior to that was like the network marketing business, where there's only 1 to 5 or 7% of people actually getting success. And that was the main reason that I left, because it was a soul stealer.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it to kill my soul. And it was.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of a big part of the reason why we went in this direction.
It's so cool too when you can take, like, because those people I remember in the mastermind, they weren't like startups. Some of them were. Mm-hmm. Some of them were like, you know, a little further along.
Couple
like
years
no one was like crushing it. They're looking for that next like level. And like you guys had like some brothers in Brazil or something.
Yeah, the Biz Bros.
Yeah, the Biz Bros. Yeah. Like, and they were just like, dude, they were just like winning every single week. And it was just cool to see people like hitting those strides. It was really cool.
It's this crazy thing. You know, if you take the people that you need to connect with, like the problem you solve for them, and you talk to more of them per day, you get more sales. Yeah. It's like the weirdest thing ever.
How'd you come up with that?
I just had this dream once.
That Babe Ruth came to that kid in Sandlot. It was like that. Somebody came to you.
Yeah, man.
Was it the Babe?
It was the babe. Came Trevor? To
you and said, if you want to hit dingers in life, fucking do this. Yeah.
You're not done.
Dingers for days.
It's just easy to overcomplicate things. Like, really, yeah. Like, oh, what do? We do the same thing. Like, it's like, that's what we do just over and over and with different companies, different things. But it's always about connecting with more people and serving more people.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. It seems like that you guys are really, really good. And I think young entrepreneurs miss this portion of it. They put the money before the people, right? Like, all you are is a stepping stone to get to that bigger paycheck, when in reality, the gem is the relationships that you build along the way. And I just think it takes a certain amount of time in business to realize that the relationships that you build along the way will without a doubt be the most important thing that you do. Because in 10 years or 20 years, you could still be alone. You could still be in a dark, dark place. Or in 10 or 20 years in business, you could build a fucking army that has your back. You build the deepest connections through entrepreneurship, because not many people understand what we go through. Just on our Zoom call, if you don't mind me sharing some of the lows that you've gone through.
Please, all of them, yeah.
You know, and I think that everybody has to go through some sort of low. 100%. And the question is how will you respond? That's the only, how you respond in the lowest of lows will determine your highest of highs. If you do not respond with tenacity, with grit, and saying, you know what, it's time to get up and try again, try again, try again. And that's what you did. At one point, he shared a story with our mastermind just right before we got on the podcast about, you know, you may see some external success or some money starting to come in, but he was, the tree was very appealing. He wanted to wrap his car around the tree, you know, intentionally, right? Because he was at such a low and a dark spot. But guess what? You don't have to do entrepreneurship that way. There's other ways of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is beautiful and also the most ugly thing that exists on the planet, depending on how you play the game, right? And so, like, talk a little bit about that, because I think that point, the vulnerability is what really brings people together, because there's humanity in it, right? There's not a whole lot of humanity in saying, look, I'm worth $10 million or $20 million. Look at me. Yeah. That's not something, I can't get drawn to that if I can't relate to that. And I think a lot of people, especially in 2022, have maybe thought about wrapping their car around a tree or been at a very low spot or wondering if the sun's ever going to come out for them. And entrepreneurship in general, I think that percentage is extremely higher than even on a normal individual basis, because of the amount of stress and pressure that entrepreneurs feel, that and they don't have anybody to talk to about it because nobody understands them and everybody's already working against them. Why do you got to work so many hours? Is money all the only thing that you care about? Is that a, and so then you start even questioning self. Why am I even doing, like, everybody around me, it feels like something's wrong with me. But I feel like this drive and this hunger to, like, keep going. And so there's a confusing time that I think every entrepreneur is going to hit, whether that's year 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, it doesn't matter. It will find the entrepreneur. If you're in business, you're going to get to a very, 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 very low spot at one point or another. How you respond will dictate how your life turns out. So if you will, just kind of share going from, you know, seemingly maybe on the outside, people think that you're doing good and life looks great or whatever, to wanting to do that and then be where you're at today.
So that was the second downturn for me. The first one that I didn't share with you was when I had invested in this business here in Las Vegas, and I spent all my coins and I bought 47% of this company, and I built it up to, you know, we're doing almost $10 million a year in business, and we're serving business to government. We built circuit boards, we put all the components on them, we deliver them. And I happened to be in California working with Lockheed Martin's division called L3 Communications. And we had this awesome team of engineers, super smart people. And I was in this room, and they were designing a cryogenic laser guidance system for missiles, like some things that are super cool that are out there, right?
Sounds pretty official.
So yeah. It was so intense, right? And so, and I just love being in those meetings because I brought all these engineers together, and these were the types of deals that I was putting together, and I loved it. And I got a call from my business partner at the time back from Vegas, and he said, hey, emergency, close the meeting down, get back here. And I was like, yo, this is going to be the biggest contract we've ever won. Like, I need to be here. And he's like, no, quit, come back right now. I was like, okay. So I shut down the meeting, and I come back to Vegas, and I go into the facility. Nothing was wrong. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And then I see this suit walking through. And I'm like, yo, Tony is my business partner. I was like, I hate suits. What is he doing in here? Mm-hmm. And he's like, come into my office. And I was like, okay, get the suit in your office too, because I don't want him in our building. And so he came in, and then he sits down. And he's like, Sean, you're probably not going to be ready for this, but I sold the business to the suit. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? I own 47% of this business. And he looks at me and he goes, well, Sean, I own 53% of it. Sorry. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I didn't go postal, right? I got up and I left quietly. I was like, I can't be here. I got to go. And I went home, and it was supposed to be my baby. I had bled in that business for 4.5 years, like done everything you could imagine to get it to where it needed to be. And then now it's kind of been ripped away from me. And so that's a soul sucking, like bad place. Right. And that drove me, you know, fast forward, it drove me into the bottle. It drove me to the bottom of every bottle in Las Vegas. And at the time, luckily I met my wife, and she was the one that pulled me out the first time. And that kind of helped me with my recovery. And I was grateful for it. She said, stop the drinking, go do something.
Where did you meet your wife?
At Stoney's Rockin' Country, bro.
There you go.
You betcha.
So maybe you were supposed to go through that low.
Yeah. You know, I'm super grateful for everything that's ever happened in my life, the highs and the lows, because it, you know, I mean, we were talking about that momentum shift, right? Mm. Like the dopamine hit earlier. I think you're totally right on all of the stuff that you said. And I thank you for sharing it, because it's a great perspective.
Thank you.
And then, so anyway, fast forward, I eventually we came into the online space, and I met Chris, and we became partners, and we started building a network marketing business together, and it was pretty explosive because he's really good at sales, and I was pretty good at sales at that stage. I'd done some big things, and we didn't know marketing, but we knew sales, and so we learned this little marketing system and started bringing us eyeballs. We converted them, and then it got to the point where we had converted so many people, they said, yo, the marketing software sucks. You need to fix it. And I looked at Chris, and we looked back at them. We're like, yo, it's not our software.
Yeah.
And they go, we don't care, fix it. And so we're like, okay. So that spurred us to building our first software company, which was called Digital Genius Lab. And so then Chris and I and our small little team that was good for network marketing didn't have the infrastructure to run a software company. And that's what caused the overwhelm, the hardcore weight of like, we're running a software business. We need to keep all that optimized, which is a full-time gig for anybody.
Yeah.
And we're managing 500,000 people online as like network marketing micro influencers. And so that weight just sat on me and sat on me and got heavier and heavier. And I was working 20, 22 hours, both him and I. You could see the bags under our eyes, like just all the things you could think of. And Russell Brunson's, you know, coach, dear friend, we were driving to his mastermind, and I had my wife in the car, and I was coming up the road, and I had gotten this call from this person that I had a little bit of issues with, right, from
sounds,
the business.
Sounds like a nice person overall, but yeah.
I got off the phone, like, you know, obviously keep in control of your emotions, and I was pretty raw with my wife, and I was just like, I just got angry, and I white-knuckled the steering wheel, and then I was like, oak tree, should just hit it and be done.
Mm.
And I stopped the car, and I profusely started bawling, and it was like, possibly the lowest time of my life that I've ever had at that moment. And I was like, look, I can't do this anymore. And she's like, I know, we need to make a change. And so we went into that mastermind, and that we had Chris was there, and we had a really good experience at that mastermind. And Russell says to us, he's like, yo, kill your baby, get rid of the company that's doing tens of millions of dollars. And it's like, it's hard to hear that from a coach at that point, because it's super successful. And you're like, it's the American dream. We're doing everything right. We're making a bunch of money. But then
we're doing everything what they told us to do to be successful.
Yeah.
And it looks like I'm checking all the boxes that they told me to check.
Yeah.
And it's hard to give that up.
Yeah. And it took the leadership of this guy right here. I am so grateful for him. He's a brother for life. I'll take a bullet or 10 for him. All he needs to do is ask. And
Well, once you've taken one, I mean, the rest, you know.
I'm bulletproof. Come on. No.
For the most part, it don't fucking matter.
If you,
after
you think
just
about
give
it.
Give me fucking 300 for this guy. Yeah, after, whatever. Fuck, after one, so, let's just go.
Let's go.
It's just more don't do anything. I mean, half more even
get, after, yeah. With his guidance, his leadership, his vision, yeah. And just his brotherhood, it was like, yo, we need to get some support, some help around. And you could easily see, like, his CEO-ness already coming out and just, like, consuming me. And it really helped. And we ended up picking up a mastermind coach, Alex Sharfin. Shout out to him if he's listening to this. Love that guy with dearly. He's a part of Big Reason Saved My Life. Hooked me up with Dr. Dave Heitman as well. And those two guys, plus Chris and my wife, and that support system for me was able to pull me back out of a very, very terrible burnout scenario that I wouldn't have been able to get out of my life by myself.
What were some of the habits that you leaned on or regimens that you leaned on to pull yourself out of that? Because you can't just start your day the following day the same that you started the day prior, right? Like, what were some of the changes that maybe slowly happened over the next 3 to 6 months where you said, okay, this is not okay. I will not tolerate this anymore. Change has to occur. Where did the change start occurring to relieve the load? Or was it more so restructuring a routine or bringing in the help? You know, there's somebody out there bearing a heavy load right now, and they're like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Yeah, you had the breakdown. Yeah, after that, like, what were the first steps that you started taking to relieve the pressure to end up being the guy that you are now, right? Like,
sure.
What are some of the first steps?
It started, great question. And it started with my morning routine. It wasn't get up and jump right onto the computer and start working. Like, because that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what it is, right? So Alex Sharfin and it said, look, you need to do what he calls a primal walk. Get outside, put your shoulders back, look at the horizon, don't think about anything, and just walk for 20 minutes before you start your day. And so that's the first thing that I started doing every morning. It was like that. And then he's like, get those five-toe weird-looking shoes because it helps you do the grounding thing. And I was like, okay, so I got those. And I started walking with that. And then he's like, read Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning and then take the Savers formula, which is have a moment of silence in the morning, do some affirmations, right? Do your visualization of what you're trying to do. Get some exercise. You better sweat every single day. And then read, like learn, because you need to learn more skills, because if you don't learn more, you're going to be stagnant and stuck, right? Learn from people like you, learn from Alex, learn from Chris, learn from those people that are like truly helping and have been there. Right. And then, and then journal.
Yeah.
And so that immediately I changed my morning routine and that started to pull my head out of it. And then him with his knowledge of how to like structure and build business, he was like, okay, let's put this person in and let's take this off your plate. And then I was like, oh, that's so much lighter. And so just little by little, like you said, is like you just start putting the infrastructure in around you, because if you want to go fast, you can go alone. This is his quote. Chris Baden says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you got to go together.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I think most people think that they're thinking way beyond really what needs to happen. A shift, anything that's new and different will create something new and different, a new and different experience.
Yep.
And so it's just a matter of give yourself a curveball one day, right? Give yourself the opportunity to experience something new. It doesn't have to take getting to an extreme low to then start taking control of your life. And I would analyze this situation, you guys, after what you just heard. I would say the reason why he got into such a low, low spot after what I just heard and how he recovered from it is he didn't feel as though that he was in control of his life anymore. Okay. Something else was dictating every second of his life. And what he started to do is take control of his life. He started to control what? How he woke up in the morning. That gave him more power. He feels as though that he's controlling how he wakes up. He's controlling how he starts his day. And then guess what? Now that he's starting to control his morning, he's wanting to take more control within his business and say, I need X person to take this duty. And so what it was him starting to create a standard of structure in his life and take control of his life to where it doesn't feel like it's running him. He's running his own life at this point, creating his own schedule, creating his own routines about listening to his body and what feels good. Oh yeah, I'm going to do 10 more minutes of meditation or visualization or gratitude or
you know, whatever it is, I'm going to go from 20 minute walk to 30 minute walk. So he's just an individual that's designing his more life as of today than what he was 3 years, 4 years, 5 years ago when he wanted to wrap his truck or a car around a tree. Mm-hmm. And so humans want to feel as though that they're in control, but what are you doing to actually take control?
Truth.
You know what I mean? How are you designing your day and then honoring the design? Therefore, at that point, over 3 months or 6 months, you're going to feel like, fuck, I control how I start my day every day. Why don't I control the middle part of it? Why don't I control how I wrap up my day? And then eventually you have a life by design. Yep. And it happens slowly. And it happens by changing one thing. Maybe the time that he woke up in the morning so he could fit that one new habit in. And then that one habit of reading then turned into reading and affirmations. And then it was walking, reading, and then affirmations. Why? Because we get addicted to that dopamine. Yep. It starts feeling good when you start feeling good. And you're like, what else can I do to feel good?
Love it.
And then you're like, now you're hungry and you're seeking new options and saying, what can I add to it that might only be 10 more minutes or 30 more minutes? And what do? You don't got to take away from the middle of your day. You just start your day 30 minutes earlier because you're now adding this new thing because you got your lab coat on. You're trying new shit and you're listening to yourself and how you feel and how you respond to it. And again, that just feels good to listen and say, I like this. I'm going to do more of it. And so you're just doing more of the shit that serves you, that fills up your cup, and you're doing it in a way that's controlled. Therefore, it's hard to get down on something that you feel like you're in control of. Sure. Does that make sense?
Well said, man. That was awesome.
That was amazing.
Let's go.
Yeah. I just snapped back.
What just happened?
You can find Trevor on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
I'm going to come out with my ebook next week.
The new course drops.
The other big gut check, I think, like, obviously, I love taking control of your own actions. Everything else is like Alex Sharfin took us through an exercise together. He said, "What do you value in your life the most?" And I thought, "Well, my wife, clearly." Yes. And he said, "Okay, open your calendar and prove it to me."
Yeah, how are you making deposits?
And I was like,
zing,
gut shot. I opened my calendar and she was nowhere on the calendar. And I was like, "Where'd who go?" he said, "Well, first thing is, where are we going to put her?" And so, non-negotiable, Saturday nights or date night. That was the first thing I did. It stayed true the same time all the way through. It's increased my relationship with her. It's increased everything in my home life to get better. Now we have lunches together and we do a lot of other things, and it's just built a lot of really kick-ass cool support around me too.
Well, I always just say, if it's important to you, invest time, money, or energy into it.
Yeah.
Whether it's your relationships, whether it's your business, whether it's your faith, whether it's your, it doesn't, finances, it doesn't, your mental health, invest time, money, or energy into it then. If your mental health is lacking, do something about it. If your finances are lacking, do something. Make an extra deposit. Look at what you're doing in that area of your life and figure out how you can make more deposits that will serve your future self. And be okay not to see a result today, tomorrow. If you start fucking meditating or doing gratitude, don't expect to fucking feel like Gandhi next week. You know what I mean? Be okay with the process being a process in order to climb out of a hole that it took you a process to get into, right?
Yeah.
Everybody tells you to become more intentional, but the only way to do that is by controlling your intentions, you know, and being consistent with it, you know,
that's really profound.
Kale, where's the other camera? Yeah. Kale's course drops.
Real short, sweet to the point.
So there's something you mentioned earlier, and then, and I'm going to take that thought, and then there's something that we're talking about right now, which is what are the mechanics? How do you actually recover? How do you take the power back? How do you be intentional and all that? And it's don't do it alone. So that's what you're mentioning earlier. Like we call it Entrepreneur Island. And
no man's land.
Entrepreneur. Yeah, I mean, for crying out loud, Trevor, can we get a shot of the lone wolf? We're talking to the lone wolf right now.
I was at a low spot when I bought this. Now I can put packs of wolves around. You know,
the wolf pack. I need to get a new hat. I hate you send that one. Put your face right here.
There we go.
Sean's face right here. Perfect.
Love it, dude. We need to get a picture of that. For sure. So, but like Entrepreneur Island, we say this in some of our content a lot as well, is like the entrepreneurial journey is lonely, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And so when we got plugged into other masterminds, we wouldn't have made it through. I mean, like we were working together, but like if we weren't surrounded by other entrepreneurs that were struggling and figuring it out, building skills, leveling up, balancing marriage and family and all the things that come at you, there is no way that we would be sitting here talking to you guys right now, period.
I don't think people understand, like, people look at a mastermind and think, like, tangible, what's the ROI? The ROI is self. You come, you go back into your business a different individual after you spend a day or two with a bunch of other individuals on a similar mission. Mm-hmm. You're revamped, you're re-energized, you're refocused, and you take a new perspective into your business on an old problem that your old perspective created. Boom, here's your solution. It's not even getting a fucking playbook handed to you and say, do this, do this, do this. It's just the ecosystem.
It is. It's more than that. You're stuck right now, not you, you know, like whoever's listening, watching this, and there's all levels, right? You hit a new level, there's going to be a new level of getting
issues,
stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like the reason you're stuck is because you don't know. The reason you're stuck is because you can't see it right now.
Yeah.
And also know that you're not alone. Yeah. Also know that that's okay. But when you get, you place yourself in those different environments, like I don't come from money. And so when you have this idea of I'm going to build a lifelong marriage, world impacting family and build multi-million dollar businesses, everyone else is like, oh, Chris, you can't have it all. What the heck does that mean? What do you mean? Is that even
on to work for it all? You can,
is that even having it? So it's like, there's all these different, but what's crazy, like what we're talking about here is we fast forward from that thought a few years after that, we get connected. We find ourselves in a room where all of the people in that room are building marriages, building families, and building multi-million dollar business. You're like, actually, it's weird if you don't do these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know where to start. Sorry, Nick, I started going away. I got to go this way. Yeah. He's like, Chris, don't get away from the microphone.
Yeah, don't lean back. Don't turn your head. You got the tutorial prior to we went on.
Thank you.
Nick, you did your job. He fucked it up.
That was a close one.
That was close. He almost did. He grabbed the mic and put it close to his mouth.
So when we did that, like you're saying, you come out of that environment, you go into new environment, and you're like, you now see life through a different lens that you can't see on your own.
Oh, and people are having their cake and eating it. You know, it's like that saying, people always tell me.
And you know what's happening? They're making some more cakes in the background because they got new recipes. They're trying new things. Yeah. And that's the whole point. People talk about like the eggs in the basket analogy. Don't put all your eggs in your, you know, one basket. Like, I don't see it like that. Put all your damn eggs in one basket till you have so many damn eggs that your one basket doesn't hold all the eggs. Now
build a bigger basket.
Now you have to go find more baskets.
Entrepreneur.
It's problem solving. Yeah. It's problem solving. Yeah. If you have too many eggs, well, now you have to go find more baskets to put them. Anyway, there's just, we can play with analogies, environments, mindsets, but like, if you're one key to success, at least, you know, for, you know, me and our journey is like, find a mastermind, surround yourself with other people because there's thoughts that are available to you that you cannot see right now. And you never will until they're exposed to you.
Well, the pay to play thing that's a real, real thing. Individuals have gone through such hell, for instance, trying to have a thought of wrapping your car around a tree, but learning all the lessons along the way to share that with somebody else so that they don't have to get to a point where they have to see a load like that because not everybody recovers from a load like that. But a lot of people want to tolerate as much as they can. It's a badge of honor if you grind yourself to 22 hours a day and you want to wrap your fucking your car around a tree. That's the fucking grind mentality. Hustle show
culture.
It off. No,
hustle
like
culture,
hustle yeah. culture. Like, don't get me wrong. There is a hustle period of business where you will grind and you will hustle, where you're putting everything in it to get the business to the point where it can spit out enough eggs, or in other words, enough money, right, to be able to get the support system, those other buckets of individuals around you that could take on some of those duties. So is there a period of time that you have to out-hustle other people? Yes, but don't get caught on that thought that I must work 18-hour days or 16-hour days. Somebody said, somebody sent us a message one time.
Well, that's what they put their worth on, right? They're like, I
can
have to
outwork
grind. I'm a grinder.
Somebody. Well, could you out-result somebody? That's really the question. Outworking and out-resulting. Like, you can work 18 hours a day, but where's the fucking results? If you're grinding your shit and you don't feel good,
Like Mike Tyson, there's a little viral video going around. He says the most peace that he ever found was in the prison cell. And somebody says, that doesn't make sense. You were making $30 million a fight. Mm-hmm. He says, but I didn't have my peace. Mm-hmm. You can't put a price on that. You see what I'm saying? You have to make deposits in all the right areas. And there is a deposit in the hustle department. You have to make a deposit there. But a lot of people go deposit, 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 while the rest of their life is being completely depleted and in shambles because they're trying to keep up with the Instagram look or whatever it is, the grind lifestyle. The idea is to grind yourself out of a job to the point where now you work 5 or 10 or 15 hours a week on this business that spits out X amount. And you're giving more opportunities to people in your organization by fading back because now that's new leadership within, right? And then guess what? Your brilliant ass mind gets to go focus on something else. The idea is, shouldn't we build and grow our babies to then when they turn 18, Kel's son's now 22, to watch them then go out in life and perform? Like, shouldn't we want to build and grow our businesses to watch it go out there and perform in the marketplace and sit there proudly and then maybe have a few more children and maybe do the same thing over and over? And right. And then eventually we find our golden child, right? You go through a couple fucking, you know,
huge
and,
in Japan.
And you find the golden child, the golden goose, so to speak, the business that actually spits out the money that helps you, you know, continue utilizing your mind in positive ways, right? And really, that's what it comes down to.
There's someone needs to hear this. Like, we're hanging this relationship between work and result. This shifted my whole entrepreneurial career, and I'm glad that it happened in the beginning. And it would not have gone the same without this. It's my second month in B2B commission only sales. That's where I started because for some reason I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm glad for it now. It sucked in the moment.
Sure.
But there's kind of
pounding. Me too. It has lessons. Me too.
Just a little bit. I've never done sales before. I was in the payment technology industry, credit card process. You know, what the hell is that, Chris? I still don't know. You know, it was.
Let me look for that rebuttal.
Yeah.
Let me talk to my supervisor.
So it was like there's all these unknowns, and but I've always been in this like result. You know, it's like name and number. Like played golf in college, right? It's like, oh well, I was hurt or this happened. Like you didn't shoot the number, you're cut. Like that's just how it goes. You take second, you're the first loser. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Like you got to focus on results. So I'm in this place. It's the grind time, right? I have no idea. Usually you need to grind when you have lack of skill, right? And so I need to develop skill quickly, or I'm going to be like the other 40 people that I watched in like 3 months, 6 months come and go, right? I got why everyone left. It sucked. Mm-hmm. But this thing flipped in me where I'm like, well, I hate this too, but I'm not leaving on your terms. I'm going to beat this first. Then I'm going to leave. And I'm going to get the hell out of here because I don't like this. Right. So there was like that type of frame that hit me. And so here's what happened. I'm working 70 plus hours a week. I do that for the entire month. Right. And I'm sure everyone watching this, like, I mean, how many long weeks have you guys put in? Right. So all this being said, guess how much I made at the end of that month?
$1,200.
Trevor?
$5,000. I mean, it should be.
$800. I was hungry. Meanwhile, I'm dating my now wife, and the pitch of like, hey, baby, you want to go live with mom and dad? You know, it's like,
I just know that pitch. I also, sales job was about $1,200.
$1,200, you're like that.
Well,
to start.
If you could close that deal, then you're for sure closer.
I was closing.
Let's go sleep in my parents' basement. I love you.
I love you.
All we need is love. That's it. Bills do not matter.
Somebody's selling something every time.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately for me, nothing was closing in all aspects of life. So I needed to learn a couple things. This is what I learned. I was like, oh, I don't get paid to work. Oh, but I worked hard. I did this. Like, newsflash, nobody cares. Mm. Nobody cares. Oh, right. And your business and your company, your product, service, also don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't get paid to work. I get paid to produce results.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop there. How do you create results? You listen, you practice empathy, and you creatively solve problems for other people, and you get them results. And when you become a master at getting other people results, they will start to care. Yeah. It's the same adage of no one, I'm going to totally botch
well,
it right
you,
now.
You give more of what you want to get, right? Like if there you want love first, like in your relationship.
Yeah.
Like, and you're analyzing, well, this person's not showing me, like, turn up what you're doing, right? Give more of that because it's the law of reciprocity. If you're giving more, by default, they're going to want to give back, right? So give more of what you're talking about, a business owner wanting results. And what you said is, whatever it is that you're doing, make sure that your customer is getting the results, and then you'll get the results that you're looking for, right? So you're actually, again, just giving more of what you want. You wanted the results, so let's give it to you first. And I know by default that'll come back, right?
100%. And like, there's a pattern that we implement with all the businesses that we start. We first go to the coldest part of the market with that same mentality. Like, give first. I don't know if we're any good. The market tells us. If they vote for you with Master or Visa card, then you know that you're starting to get closer. If they don't, that's just how it is. So we go cold. We listen. They tell us all the reasons why we suck. Oh, wow, those are really good perspectives, really good thoughts. Let's go change that. We go start to work on it. And then this is the funny switch. We come back to market, and they're like, oh, my gosh, it's like you're reading my mind. It's like we've just been listening.
It's called feedback.
Feedback.
We used
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So we used it. Are in your mind now that you think about it.
Yeah.
It's like inception.
Like,
you know?
And then this could help us with this. And this is like, wow, that sounds good. It seems like this is the right fit. Yeah. Like, how can we start? You don't have to sell, right? Or it's not selling.
Yeah.
But we're all selling, you know, ideas and products and services, any conversation. But that pattern right there leads you to this point. You get 10 people, ideal customers. If you don't have at least 7 of them, they can't even help it. They have to go tell other people about what's going on, what's taking place. If you mm-hmm. don't create that type of result, go home. You don't have a business. You're not ready. The market's telling you suck.
Yeah.
But if you can get to that point, that's a good indicator that, hey, you might be onto something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the you suck feedback is the best feedback that you could ever receive, because that's setting yourself up for a much, much better future. I think some
it's better
business,
to hear that sooner than later.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, some people just don't want to hear honest feedback. And as painful as that honest feedback can be, that's also the thing that's going to make sure that you don't ever have to deal with that same pain again. That's your antidote. Figure it out and then make sure that doesn't happen again. And then you're good, but get punched in the face once with the right hook, not over and over and over by continuing to make the same mistake walking into it without making that adjustment.
Somebody's listening to, like, watching this right now, and they've been running from the very thing that has been knocking on their door, asking them, inviting them in to go to the next level. We're building a 9-figure tech company. Mm. Full Chat will do $100 million in sales in 1 year. We know what the book title is going to be, but we haven't created, that's another story. We haven't created.
Can we do the forward to it?
Yeah, let's do it. In the Beat Lab.
In the Beat Lab.
Yeah,
the Beat Lab.
All right. So
I don't make my bucket list hard because I want to check that shit off. I'm going to text y'all a picture tonight of my Beat Lab, dude.
With your lone wolf hat with us on your head. All the bring backs. Where are we at, Nick? All right. But here's this is what I want people to catch. We've never created that type of result yet.
Yeah.
Okay. The problems that we're facing right now are the things that we need to lean into. We were talking about running the other day or just earlier, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you hit like a certain point and you're like, oh, do you want to run more? Do you want to run now? You're like, no. And do you back off? Why are you saying no?
Because you only say no to something that owns you. Right? Like something that you hate doing that you don't want to address. Right? And so basically what Chris is saying here is earlier, so have you been running? And I said, no, actually it was something that it completely hated at one point. But also that thing that you hate, that thing owns you. Right? Because if I tell somebody, hey, let's go run 20 miles, yeah. They say no. Well, why? Like literally in your heart of hearts, why? Because it would be what? Difficult. It would be hard. So there's something that's difficult or hard in your life or in your business that you're not wanting to address. And so what I would say is that fucking owns you right now. And the only way for it not to own you, there's that little thing. You might try to ignore it and distract yourself with fucking porn. You might try to distract yourself with fucking TV or sports or this, that, the other, but it's always fucking there and it's waiting for you to address it. So address the shit that you fucking hate so it doesn't own you anymore. So I wanted to look at running straight in the fucking face and run towards the motherfucker so that it couldn't own space in my mind anymore. And again, I'm just trying to look at the things that I don't like doing, and I want to make sure that I do those things and really analyze, do I really not like this thing?
Yeah.
You see, I haven't given it a full chance.
100%. And so, like, staying in this, like, I know someone needs to catch this. If it's hiring your, if it's making your first hire,
mm-hmm.
if it's getting your first leadership hire in place,
yeah.
if it's finally creating that next SOP, standard operating procedure, if it's finally letting go, if it's finally building a new skill set, man, when you look at the books, you have no idea what you're looking at. You know that maybe you make a little bit more than you spent, congrats, but you have no idea how to look at financial statements. You don't know the valuation of your company. Shout out
you
to
don't
Easier
to,
Accounting. Maybe like give them a call. But like,
they don't know how to delegate or whatever it is, right?
There's multiple aspects of the business, right?
Yeah.
The thing, maybe you don't have the skill set, so you ignore it. But it's time that you stop running from it. You look it right in the face and you say, like, I'm going to own you.
Dude, we're guilty of it. You know what I mean? Always. Like, we've been owned by our business for a while, dude. Like, and to kind of bring both your guys' points together, like, we're just like at this level, we're like, we don't know what to do next. You know, we're great hustlers, grinders. We're great marketers. Mm-hmm. We're great sales
and you're
guys.
Doing great.
But we're not executives, right? We brought this thing to 8 figures, but we're in the same boat. We're building a 9-figure accounting company. We're not building an 8-figure account. So how do we go to that next level? It's okay, well, so now we go on this hunt, right? And I'm like working through all these channels. I'm talking to every like CEO, COO. I'm asking advice. I'm like, you know, I'm getting my face punched in with some of my questions to these guys because they're like, well, why don't you have a defined plan? What, you know, but one of my mentors was like, dude, because we were playing with the idea all the time. We're like, well, what do we pay them? Like, can we get someone for 100 grand a year, 150, 200? Is it a 400 grand? Do we need a 500 grand a year guy? Like, what do we need? Like, what can we get? Like, we're so confused, right? And finally, one of my mentors was like, dude, you're not paying. Because, the other thing was like, well, do we get like someone that's kind of remote, but he can come in quarterly? It's like a hybrid. Like, we don't know what we need, right? And he's like, dude, it doesn't matter. You're not paying for someone's time. You're paying for the result, right? So he's like, so it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. We work for a result, but we also, if we're at that point in our business, we need something beyond our level. Like, we got to be able to pay for that result. We don't got to try and buy people's time.
Yeah.
You know? So that was like a big thing to me. I was like, okay, cool. So it's not about trying to get a guy that's worth $500,000 a year for 250 or whatever. It's about, or how many hours I can get from. It's about what result, who's qualified to get us the result and let's pay for it.
Always comes back to results. What is the goal?
You know what? And also just hearing Kel kind of just share that story brought also something else full circle that we've already discussed. And we talked about relationships. He said, the first thing I did is what? I started reaching out to the people I knew.
You got it. I was going to say something.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like he started reaching out to his contacts and his network. If you're going at it alone, who's your fucking contact? Who's your network? And guess what? These are people that were met at networking events or masterminds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These are the high level minds that we surround ourselves with. So when we have a high level problem, we got plenty of doors to fucking knock on. Have you had this? Look at this. What do you do here? Whatever. What do you pay them?
Yeah. Once told that your network is your net worth.
Yeah. No, right? That's like absolutely it's true.
Totally mm-hmm.
It's absolutely true. Somebody that knows a million people should have way more money than somebody that knows 10. Like
there's one other element that's coming to mind. I think it's really important. And I'm going to be giving a shout out to you guys because as we're talking about masterminds and getting to be in the right rooms around the right people, there's one extra little layer there that I don't always see. Mm. And it's just a certain level of leadership. Mm-hmm. I like to call it the real business. And so it's like perfect for the podcast, right?
I didn't quite set it up.
I wish I could say that I set it up that good, but I didn't. But like this
you're
is
just that good.
This, you know, I just put on my pants one, that's you know, like yeah. time. And it's just once my pants are on, I make gold record.
Now, if I was a fly on your wall, you'd probably jump in both fucking legs at one time, choke, snap, bump, backflip. You're out of there. Yeah, he don't put his pants on one leg at a time.
They're Velcro.
He's an American fucking ninja warrior. You really think he does one leg at a time? No way.
That's Bush League.
Yeah,
Bush League. Let me show you something.
He swings across the monkey bars. Let's go. Lands in his fucking pants, buckles it up.
Blindfolded. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, it's easy. Okay, so I got to sit. Actually, it was really cool. You guys appreciate the invitation.
Yeah.
Sean was,
being here.
Busy doing like other big cool things at the time, but we got like being to show up there, right? Yeah. We're in a hangar next to a freaking cool jet.
Yeah.
And it was a good environment, inspiring environment.
You talking about our mastermind?
Yeah. I'm talking about your mastermind.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
It does sound, I hope
the
so.
Jet.
You were there.
Inspiring.
I was listening to you.
Yeah, I blacked out. That one of those moments again.
So. But hey.
Need to get you an energy drink or something, dude.
Wake up.
So we've been playing at kind of like this level with a lot of, like all of us personally have been in masterminds. We would not be here talking if it was not for those experiences.
No, without a doubt.
Period.
Isn't it weird? Like we didn't meet at a mastermind. Well, we met because I joined your mastermind, but you guys went to Russell Brunson's. I'm sure it wasn't cheap. We were in Ed Milet, so that wasn't cheap. You know, but somehow that all brought us together somehow. That's kind of cool.
It's
because we see the value of it.
It's just one of those things. You're like, oh, like this is the pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. And how scary was it to cut the first check?
Oh, my God.
Scary.
To be quite honest with you, we didn't do it on year one because it was so much.
Yeah.
Because we glitched out, dude.
Yeah,
like it was a sticker shock, right?
Yeah,
just new to it and not understanding the value that networking brings. We should have done it that year, but the second year, about halfway through, we looked at each other.
We've come from cash grab business opportunity type stuff, so we're like, this could be a cash grab opportunity type thing, you know?
And here's where some of the shift is, right? So it's this level. But then there's like these unique groups that start playing at a higher level, and it comes in with leadership. It comes in with integrity. It comes in with character. And so I just walk in. I don't know what to expect. I know Kale a little bit. We haven't got to connect as much.
No.
But when you guys start talking, I was like, let's go. Like everything inside you just starts lighting on fire. You're like, this is the stuff.
Yeah.
But I understand that more now. Sean understands that more now than ever. Yeah. And so I think what's important, let me give you something specific, okay? You guys, Kale, you might, you know, I know you guys are both aware of this, but everyone listening, watching, there's when I really want to understand anyone that I'm going to spend time around, I don't go talk to them first.
Yeah.
I want to know what the people around them that are close to them say about them. I don't care what they have to say, not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's smart.
I want to see how they show up in their community and what the community is saying. And so that pattern has really helped me. And so when I get to hear behind closed doors how you guys are showing up and serving your people and your team, like with personal health challenges, the real stuff, that's what drives business. But that's the stuff that we can't always really talk about as leaders. And like that's why Sean and I have been business partners so long. Giving isn't an idea or something we do when we have X. It's a principle that we've lived by.
Yeah.
So, like we're funding wells. And we were both like connected on that from the, and his wife Mel, like from the very beginning, and our business partner now, additional business partner now. So we're seeing those qualities like in your guys' community. I was like, I already know why they're succeeding and why they're continuing to grow. Yeah. Now, just being around that, it's contagious.
It is.
So when one of the like feeling that we're doing some of that naturally, but like, you know, one of the team members, just knowing what's going on, like it inspired me to listen and be more, even more aware and also serve when he was in the hospital. And so I know we've talked about some of that story, like knowing that like, he always wants to be doing something and he used to draw when he was a kid, just hearing that little detail and everyone listening, watching your team, like you're there to serve them.
Yeah.
How are you serving them? Would you work for you? Honest, powerful question that can change the very trajectory of your company. And it has for all of us. Right. So, And then it goes beyond just our own companies.
I would add to that, just because you do that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be pain, because when you start giving your heart out like that, and you're vested into people, it is very hurtful.
100%.
When something happens that you didn't expect to happen, or somebody, you have the ability to get let down a lot, but you also have the ability to create something way more special than what anybody else has the ability to create because you're doing it.
Yeah.
The same wall that you put up not to get hurt is also the same wall that holds back something special from happening.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it leads to a place where, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. Right. But look here, we can't ignore the principle because it's proven itself over and over again. And it in itself, giving is a skill in itself.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And so you learn to as you go through those experiences, I'd like just to add that you learn how to truly give unconditionally. So when it doesn't go well,
you have to remind yourself, I did this because of who I am, not for a different reason, right? And you have to go back to that.
From the
you
result.
Got to, but it's hard.
It's very hard.
And at first, when you first start doing it, they might be like, these fucking guys, yeah, right, da da da, because they will experience pain. But we can also tell you business is also amazing, but it is also very painful. You know, if anything, the thing that might cause the pain, like I said, that we want to avoid could be the very thing that breaks open your business.
And right? It doesn't always, it's not always like I do this and then this happens, but like in different, we've done this with different team members for us. It's like today, you know, leadership, it might be skill, you know, meeting with them one-on-one and giving more skill. It might be just having a behind conversation and talking with them being like, actually, I'm really hurting right now. And you need to just bring them food for the next week. And bring them groceries.
Right.
Right. And then it just happens 2 months later that they have their biggest sales month. I didn't even tell you about that story.
You
they
are
have
right
their,
now.
Their biggest sales month ever. And now they're one of your top salespeople. Yeah. It's all those little different investments.
Maybe somebody's looking for somebody to believe in them because they don't yet. And when you decided to invest into them, when they weren't even willing to invest into themselves,
that's the definition of leadership. Mm-hmm. Right. When you have more belief in you than you might have in yourself, when I have more belief in you than you, I say that to my sales team all the time. Look, I believe in your abilities and your skills more than you do.
Yeah. Somebody has to be that almost at one point at somebody's life. Everybody had a mentor or somebody that they could look up to that says it was this moment or this person or this situation or joining masterminds or whatever it is, but it all circles around, you know, an individual or a person or a meeting like this or whatever it is. It's just a matter of making all the right decisions, no matter if there is pain involved in the decision.
Yeah.
The process is the process is the process. And they say, trust the process. I know that's cliche, but just because it's the right thing to do doesn't mean it's going to be one easy. And most often the harder route is the route that you should be going down to get the extreme results that you say that you want. And part of that is putting your heart out there and with the intention of trying to serve. And at first, when you do that, you're like, I'm doing it. I expect it back. Yeah. And then when your heart gets ran over a few times, you're like, fuck this. I don't even give a shit. I'm just going to treat people like they're my employees. Da, 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 da. It makes you second guess it. And so the reason why when you said that, I was like, just because you do that and it's the right thing to do doesn't mean it's not going to come with some pain or angst.
I'm
right?
so glad you mentioned it because people need to hear that so that they don't stop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They need to understand why you should work through it, why you should buy into the principles and the value. Like I wouldn't be here even in building to the success that I have without Sean and his wife, Mel. The way that they've bought into me and believed into me and spoke into me, like there's no way. Even so, what's fun is this: when we take the conversation in this direction, the presence of this top type of conversation, anyone listening, watching, this is a different level of conversation. Right. I already know that this is inspiring thoughts and feelings that have already been in the back of the mind of other business owners and leaders. Yeah. This is the thing. We don't need to sell this to anyone. When you hear it, you already know it to be true. Why is that? Because it works and it always will. It will yesterday, it will today,
the truth
and it will tomorrow.
The most powerful thing in the entire world. And when you hear it and it rings true, the only thing that's left is you to make a decision on whether or not you want to do that thing and honor that emotion and that feeling that you know is the right thing or not.
And the more that you communicate it, you focus on it, you talk about it, you align yourself with others that have consistent values and principles and others that have consistent values and principles, and you place yourself, like you guys are leading your mastermind and you're in that mastermind event that's pulling all those people also in that direction. How do you not win?
Right.
You do.
Like you were saying, like the pain that can come back, like, well, every developed skill requires going through some pain.
So
if giving is like what you're saying, where, hey, that's actually a skill, well, then we should probably practice it. Because the more, and if it's true that the more we give
today,
the more that
tomorrow.
We're going to receive, and you do need to receive to be able to give more, right? So the law of circulation. But Why not practice it? And it doesn't have to be giving money. It doesn't have to be
time.
It doesn't have to be energy. Giving. Yeah, it can be giving time, giving energy, giving giving your belief, like we're talking about, like practice.
Could be a text message
to develop that skill.
I think the other piece of that is like the skills that got you here aren't going to get you there.
Mm. Yeah,
and you said it earlier you said, "Hey, when you get your first $10,000 check." It's like that moment is like, oh, this is amazing. And then you chase that dopamine hit. Mm. You chase that dopamine hit. If you don't reset where you want to get to the next level and then realize with your hyper awareness that you don't have the skills, that maybe the skills will get you that $10,000 check, but you don't have the skills to get that $250,000 check, right? And then that awareness, and then it goes back to, what do I need to change to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in the day, I was just like, why can't I make millions of dollars? Why am I stuck at 150 grand a year?
Yeah.
You know, and you look at it. Well, fuck, why I was making 150 grand a year, I was doing the exact same shit. Now I get routines and habits, but I had routines and habits that weren't of growth.
Yes.
I had routines and habits that, I exercised to move my body, but I wasn't reading. I wasn't working on my mind. I wasn't trying to continue to get better at sales or this, that, the other. I was showing up to put out that day's worth of fires just to stay in business for another day.
But when you become living off
the 150.
When you become a better listener, a better giver, guess what, man? Going from six figures to seven figures is freaking hard. I don't think it's going to be that as hard as that to go from eight to nine figures because you learn those things, right? You learn the real valuable things like
being open-minded to new information. Like, fuck, you being open, but like being open-minded by saying like, fuck, maybe I don't know it all.
I really think going from seven to eight figures was easier than going from six figures to seven. So
I thought so. Eight to nine. In terms of revenue,
The first 100,000 was the hardest money ever for me, at least. The first 100,000 was the hardest money ever.
Yeah, it was.
Well, keeping it's the hard part. So that's why
but we were stuck
exist.
At a certain point for a period of time. And when we unstuck, it was when we got unstuck with the same information that we were showing up to that next day with. You can't show up the same individual over and over. You can have the same redundancies in terms of your habits and your routines that are of service to yourself, because those habits and redundancies and routines are that of growth. Yeah. So you'll make your growth deposit that day rather than just the same old deposit. The same old deposit's going to get the same return. And so it was like confusing. It was like, we're grinding. We're showing up. But why is year? This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. This is going to be our year. But nothing changed. We just did the same old shit saying this was going to be our year. And when we started showing up differently, the results started showing up differently. And so it's not the business that's the problem. Running the business and you are the problem. You are the anchor that's holding the results back from happening within your business. It's just your ego won't allow you to say that to yourself yet, but you'll eventually want to wrap your fucking self around a tree and then you'll remove the ego and say, fuck, I need help. I need realization that I can't do it alone, blah, 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 blah. And then here's your self-improvement journey.
The thing.
So you can go through that or you can just fucking start now.
Today. Yeah. Trevor's course drops. So the thing
pre-buy
that I hate. Pre-sales only available for the first time.
If I hit a big enough number, you will get a course.
The thing that I absolutely hate about leadership is that you can hide from nothing. And the thing that I absolutely love about leadership is that you can hide from nothing. Mm. It's one of those unique places in life that you, when you place yourself in it, it just reveals so much so fast. Mm. And I love and hate that part of it. But how else do you live? Yeah. Like any living in any other way feels like I'm just running away from something. Mm. And that doesn't make sense. I don't like
something's
that.
Owning you.
I don't like that.
His days were owning him at one point and he's flipped it.
Well, the biggest thing that's going to develop you as a leader is self-accountability. So you can't hide. Once you really take on like, well, I'm an accountable person.
It's too late.
You can't hide.
It's too late.
You know? So I love that.
Don't
I've actually never heard that, dude.
Don't do it yet, because once you take accountability, there's a lot of fucking work. You know, so don't take that on unless you're willing to do the work, because then you'll just be sitting in pain.
That reminds me, one time somebody said, Sean, what's the one thing that makes a salesperson one of the best salespeople on earth? And I was like, oh, that's a really good question. It took me like 3 days to think about it. I came back and I said, there's not one, there's three, right? Number one, mm-hmm. you have to have conviction. Like if you don't believe in what you're doing and what you, like if you're not fully convicted,
yeah.
go sit on the railroad tracks, drink a gallon of beer and figure out why you're not, write down a list of all the stuff that you're not convicted about and then sell yourself.
Imagine a priest or a pastor up there not feeling the conviction of the Lord.
It'd be weird.
Yeah.
Kind of awkward.
Right? There wouldn't be butts in the seats.
No, right. Yeah. So conviction, know? Definitely, if you don't have conviction, go get it, right? So anybody that's listening to this, if you don't have conviction about the thing that you sell, the service or product that you provide, like sit down and write a list of why not, right? Yeah. Those are just going to be all little pieces of head trash. You can just take them out to the garbage, throw them away, right? Sell yourself on that or have someone that's really amazing like you guys or be in a mastermind where you say, this is the reason I'm not convicted. Can you convince me otherwise or talk to me through it? So get convicted, number one. Number two is consistency, right?
Right.
Mm.
You got to get the reps, right? Someone says to me, Sean, I want to be good at sales. Sure, I can teach you to be a master at sales in a weekend, but my question is, where's the flow of opportunities going to come so you can practice the shit and get better, right? And then the third thing is persistence. Just know you're going to get knocked down on your ass, even fall on your back.
Yeah.
But like Les Brown says, if you can see up, you better get up.
Mm.
Go.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, those are what I believe is like, when it embodies leadership and embodies sales and embodies pretty much everything. It's like, if you have conviction, persistence, and consistency, you can win just about in anything you do.
That's right.
I could fucking jam with you guys all day. Well, it's not day really anymore. I can jam with you guys.
Because we've been jamming all day.
Yeah, I really think I could. Fucking keep it rolling. Get new batteries.
Let's go. Man. Round two.
Drop the fucking music. So, drop his.
Has it been an hour beats. Already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, yeah. It's Sunday. It's
the episode drops Tuesday, but you get done with it by Friday.
Yeah. This is a marathon. Yeah,
exactly. I do want to say about your guys' product, okay? Because I want to talk about it a little bit because I love it. But one of my favorite things about what you guys have built and what you're continuing to build is that, see, all these products out there are technology, right? And it's AI and all this stuff. But you guys are doing, and you're using that. You're using this technology to your advantage. But where it matters the most, you're keeping the human-to-human connection because that is so important. And like even our mentors, like even Andy, you know, he's like, dude, all these companies, they're going all AI. They're going all automated, trying to replace humans. We're never, ever going to replace human-to-human connection. And I'm telling you that the companies that will survive any time is the people that don't get away from human-to-human connection. And even though you're building a badass software, you're utilizing humans where it matters most, which is connecting.
I want to buy into the fool's gold so bad, like just like anyone else.
Yeah.
I want to hear that I get to, sell me the painkillers, man. Where's that red button? I want to push that red button. Oh, I push this button and then I just get 100 book calls.
That was easy.
Where?
I haven't fucking found it in 12 years in business. Where's the easy button?
And there's a place for, there's a place for automation, good systems. We're not like that. We use them. There's a good, smart leverage play for all that. But when it comes to automating rapport and connection, when is the last time we've bought into any high level product from a bot? When that pattern happens, I will buy that program. Yeah. Let's go. But we have not seen that in the market. The numbers don't say that.
You know what I say? I mean, even in our CRM that we're continuing, I mean, this thing's always, CRMs are ever evolving, right?
Yeah. Always.
You can be like, oh, the CRM budget's 100 grand or 200 grand. It's like, the budget's ongoing. There is no budget, dude. It's just a monthly expense. Like, just get used to it.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, this is what software's like.
Well, we were talking about.
Like, I don't fucking know what my expenses are. We had to program a lot more last month than what I thought, but this new idea.
I think, I've used this analogy at different times. Imagine, you're going to go see your favorite band, right? And you've got the bass player, you got the guitar player, you got the drummer, you got the key player. The
singer.
That's it. You got the spoon player that sneaks in there somehow. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Like whoever's like in your favorite band, right? If one of the musicians or two or three of the musicians aren't there, they're not the same freaking band.
Exactly.
Right. And so when it comes to business, there's just these different functions and roles. You're going to have ops. You're going to have tech.
Yeah.
It's a thing. If you're that person, God bless you. Yeah. Like, thank you for making the world a better place, right? If you're the visionary, If you're the glue that pulls people together and is cultivating culture and point, like there's roles, but we were all wired that way on purpose. Yeah. Like it's about people rallying together and the sum is greater than the parts. Like, so it's, I mean, I think what you're saying is like, yeah, embrace how it is. And if not, you're welcome to continue to struggle.
But wait. I just want to add, because I think that's like, it goes back to persistence, right? Like if you're not aware about what your superpower is, and everybody listen, like seriously listen to this for a second. You have a superpower. Everybody does one thing or another. I agree. And if you haven't found it yet, that's okay. Not your fault. You just haven't been persistent enough to try enough things, because you will find it.
Trevor says it is your fault though. Fucking be persistent and do more shit. Yeah, Figure out more about
yourself. What do you think about activity? Every superpower has an area where it serves you, and it has an area that can like destroy you too, right?
Yeah,
like
totally.
I already know that naturally, like I'm a people pleaser. That's why I'm great at connecting people. And I'm like the only things, but I see where that can really tarnish me.
Sure.
But since I've become aware of it, I've been able to like establish those type of boundaries, right? Where I'm like, dude, I can be a guy that says yes and go and serve this person and please them and connect them and do all these things, but I can't let it get to a point where I'm getting taken advantage of. So I've had to get good at like because I got taken advantage of a lot of times for a really long time before I was like,
yeah,
dude, I cannot have another guy like a snake come in, just like suck out of me. You know what I mean? I can't, because then I become resentful. Right. And so I love where you're talking boundaries. About like everybody has a superpower and you need to figure it out, but you also need to figure out where boundaries. It serves you and where it hurts you.
Well, if 100%. You don't create boundaries around your superpower, it can turn into a kryptonite.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so look at Superman could have used that same power to destroy, but he did. You know what I mean? The same thing that gave him the ability to rescue and save is the same thing that could give him the ability to destroy, depending on how he uses it. You've got to have boundaries around your superpower, or else you will use. Because it's a superpower, it's going to attract a lot of people, whatever that is. It could be the relationship piece. It could be your superpower is the tech person. Guess what? A lot of people are going to be like, yeah, a million tech questions. You could be a social media expert. You're going to get a billion questions about social media. Like, but where do you put up the wall and say, yo, like, I'm important too. I need to address me too, right? And so it is super important to say, yes, I'm great at this thing, but you don't have to like give to the point where your cup is empty. First, give to yourself to where you have a full cup so you can give to more people, but also create the boundaries
and bracket
as well.
The time to keep your cup full.
Yeah, exactly.
You're learning how to use it. You're learning how to use it, right?
How would you use Flowchat? Because we definitely want to try to use it for the podcast and growing the audience.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of cool shit. Like we got Ninja.
We've got Ninja. We've got Superstar.
Ninja golfing, singing, Warriors
Japan.
Here. And we've all talked a lot about cool shit today. But I want to actually, because it hasn't been super clear on what like Flowchat does.
Sure.
I do want everyone listening to, because it is a really cool product.
Thank you.
I want to know how we could use it to build our.
Let's talk about that.
Because I guarantee you 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, probably 10 out of 10 entrepreneurs listening can benefit from it. But they're like, hey, what's Flowchat and how can I benefit from it? So let's use a real world situation like a podcast, because that's so off the cusp and it's not.
So here's how you could do it, right? You guys have a Facebook group, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Right. And that's probably surrounding your podcast, let's say, right? So pretend we have a Facebook group that promotes your podcast and everything else. Do you believe that there's other people out there that should be listening to your podcast that are in different people's Facebook groups?
Absolutely.
So Flowchat will allow you to go to those other groups, click a button and collect all those members. And now you can have a one-to-one conversation with all of them at scale to entice them, to introduce them, to bring them up a couple of episodes to your podcast at will, at scale.
Yeah.
And then you can hire cheap labor to run the play for you. So it's almost happening automatically. But again, it's human to human.
Exactly.
And so there's a couple of fun angles to go on this. So that's one for just increasing downloads, right? That's a big KPI when it comes to podcasts. Another angle is guesting. So if you're going to get the guests that you want, you guys are already naturally networking, connecting. Flowchat's used for that as well. Like have a DM sequence where you're constantly, you've got your dream 100 and you're outreaching to the right people and or the friends or the people that are in around their network,
yeah,
working your way to where you want to get. Like we were just talking with Corey earlier about some speakers for the next event. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm trying to get this one. I was like, oh, well, their executive assistant is this person. Like what? You know, it's like, yeah, like that's networking through group chat. And guess what I did? I reached out on social.
Yeah.
So it's have the process is happening, but as soon as we all know this, as soon as it's on paper, now it's real. Yeah. Now it's repeatable. Yeah. Now it's not us. Which, like what we're building a podcast, whatever it is you're building, it's like rowing a boat. You can approach it with all these different mentalities. You can call, I'm going to freaking kill it. I'm going to be the first. But you're going to gas out. You're not going to make it across the water to the other side because you're going to end up in the middle and stuck.
You're going
to
be first place for the first 25% of it.
You got to be
consistent. Feels cool for a minute.
Exactly.
Until you lose the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Suckers. I'm out of here.
And then you're like passed out.
Got the ass end view of everybody else after.
But then the people that can, and this is what people miss. They're like, yeah, it's slow and steady. The people that keep rowing and can keep rowing, but they get it down. They're like, you know what? I've done the same row 100, 500, 1,000 times. This is all I really do, right? You can have someone else come in. Hey, can you just do this?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Man, I should let's get a few more of those. Now you got a whole boat full of, 10 people doing the same thing. Now you're going 15 times faster. And guess what? You're not there. If you keep relying on your own energy, even if you pick the right pace, it's not the right thinking. You still lose.
So like your guys's, for example, your like higher level pro plans where you actually write sequences, you train up VAs to go out and you're like, all I got to do is click the button and build the audience. They'll go out and reach out to them and have that conversation for me. Like how long does it take to get that all up to speed?
Flowchat is the, just to tie it in, Flowchat is the rowing boat.
Yeah.
It's not built just for you, the leader. It's built for your team.
Yeah.
So that you can actually track. So when you're asking those questions of like, wait a minute, what do I need? Well, I need to find the people that I'm going to go talk to. We load them in like a few clicks.
Yeah.
And then you have the SOPs, you have the system, all your people in the boat, they know exactly how to row that freaking boat.
Yeah.
And it's going to go faster than you because there's more of them, right? And what do you say? Well, we have those templates in there.
Yeah.
Like this is, we talk to people for a living. So
I mean, that's how you guys got me in your mastermind.
It was
human to human. I was like, oh, it's not a bot. Yeah. Because it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Between Chris and I, we've had probably over 200,000 messenger conversations, which is a pretty big number for anybody. And so we've seen patterns and trends and everything else. And so Flowchat really does three things at scale. It allows you to grab thousands of perfectly targeted clients in an instant from any social. It actually works on 8 currently. We're bringing in more soon. Mm-hmm. It's the only one of its kind that actually works on that many. And then the second thing is, once we've had the people, now we set up a predefined messaging sequence we want to send to them,
right,
and then we just send messages.
That's it.
And the beauty of it is we have very high-level reporting where you can see how your messaging sequence is actually working, and we can troubleshoot where it may be handicapped or broken or whatever. And then the second thing that it does is actually you can track an organic flow to a conversion, which is the only system of its kind that I've seen and Chris has seen that we wanted to buy one. We didn't want to build it at first. We have to end up building it, right?
When you know
and then you guys don't have problems with, like, because bots get shut down on those bot DMs.
That's why we're not using one.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that then there's no problems.
Right.
Like some people flow chat, it just might sound like a bot, but I just can't.
Yeah. There are.
We've touched on it like 30 times that it's human to human inner.
See, Flowchat is unlimited in the amount of messages you can send from Flowchat. The limitation comes from the social platform. So we have guidelines saying, hey, look, if you're playing on Facebook, if you're starting new messages, you can only do about 30 new messages and new friend requests per day. That's usually about the average per profile.
Right.
So if you have 2 profiles, now you have 60 new a day, 3 profiles, 90 new a day. So how many new opportunities do you need to come through your business every single day in order to hit the fulfillment metrics level that you can deliver on, right? Because Flowchat is a vehicle that will outperform the capacity of your business and then everything breaks because that's never a good place to be.
Yeah.
There's paid ads, there's podcasts, there's challenges, summits, webinar, there's all the different things, and those are good. Like we're more and thinkers. Like yes, please, all of the things that allow me to acquire an LTV customer that's lower than the CAC all day. Let's roll, right? The one big argument that we're posing in the marketplace is why don't ignore DMs,
right?
Because when you get even if it's cold, we like warm outreach, which you know is a whole other conversation. But even if it's cold, what's the first thing we do? Let's go look at the profile.
Yeah.
That's doing all the marketing for us, right? So when open rates are insane, people are logging in on average 12 plus times a day, spending on average 5+ hours a day. That's where the attention is. As a business owner, marketer, you don't have a choice. Like that's the language and the experience that you got to show up in. And so when you put the right systems in place and you go where the attention is, like we do the real work, so there's no guesswork. Like you can see the numbers and you keep solving problems step by step until you get a result.
It's like fishing with dynamite in a stock pond, bro. You're just not going to lose.
Most people don't.
I actually used it for the book launch, right? And we've talked about integrating it with other things and we haven't fully done it yet, but it works. It works great.
Most people don't realize, like, we have so many use cases of people doing six figures a month just on that type of outreach and acquisition alone.
Yeah.
So if somebody has great fulfillment set up and they're like, yo, I need deals, I need lead flow, I need calls coming in.
And they're not using DMs?
Yeah.
You're leaving seven figures on the table.
So much. Seven figures on the table.
Or more.
If it's an okay.
Yeah, or more.
Probably
really.
More.
We're
depending on the product,
we're
right?
doing this, over 100,000 per using Flowchat to sell Flowchat. We're selling software. We're not even selling like a 25K, 10K thing, right? We're doing over 100,000 currently as of now. Like we're continuing to scale, but like with Facebook profiles only. There's only Facebook only we're doing over 100,000.
And that's only with three profiles fully optimized.
All I used
one pipeline flow.
All I used it for on the book launch was Facebook. You guys and it was like a book launch is a one day thing, right? Like you're trying to hit these numbers in one day to become number one bestseller, which I did. And that helps
go.
Too,
let's
right?
get some.
Let's go. But I only used Flowchat on Facebook. You know, I assume like Instagram, LinkedIn, like what are the other four or so? What are the other
seven? Oh yeah, so we have LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. We have Twitter. You got Discord, Slack, and Telegram is seven. Soon we'll be TikTok and probably Pinterest. We have coders working on all of those right now.
What about my OnlyFans?
No. Haven't got there yet. Do they have direct messaging on OnlyFans? I've never
played. Sure they do.
Did you catch him up on the business idea that we came up with?
If you have direct messaging,
that's too high level of a conversation, dude. That's too level. That's too high level. We can't talk about
I have a website called OnlyFans.net.
I was going to bring it up.
.net.
Yeah, well, I literally only sell fans.
Perfect.
I was going to say skin sells. If you want to get to know Trevor more, you can jump on.
No, it's just selling fans.
Hey, the new swag drop comes out in a week.
And then there's another section of fans where you can buy like 100,000 followers, just fans, right?
Yeah. That's cool. The marketer.
We were talking about this on the way to dinner for the mastermind dinner.
Oh, is he going to do it?
And we were just all in
gonna do
this
it?
Is
my
the
car.
High level conversation.
And and we were talking about Flowchat, and I don't know how, but we started talking about the chick selling fart jars.
Oh man.
Oh,
this chick made $1 million selling
you don't
fart
need
jars.
Flowchat.
Even Nick's like, laughing at that one. He almost fell asleep over here. I've been watching you, Nick.
Nick's gonna edit that one out.
It was funny.
He's like, no.
Fart jars. Fart jars. What are those?
And me and Chris and Hailey and I think Corey was, I can't remember who's.
Well, Nick's wondering why you would need even a DM person or Flowchat to sell a fart in a jar.
If the fart jar girl has
Flowchat,
it sells itself.
Yeah, like,
it would be game over.
It's just, that's word of mouth, dude. It'll sell its fly off the shelf.
Hey, it's a real
fly
thing. This chick was farting in jars and selling them online.
I've heard about it.
And did really well on it.
You didn't buy one, did you?
I didn't.
Okay, good.
I don't like farts, but otherwise I would have.
Yeah, I mean, if I was into that, you know. I mean,
there's people that do that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, bro, whatever tickles your pickle, bro. Everyone's in a different shit, bro. Some people sit on balloons just for them to pop.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it on like a TV show. It was like weird fetishes.
There's
what it was. They loved it. They loved. Look at the conversation.
You can.
We get on long enough.
These are the high level ones. That's what we talked about.
We're going high level here with fart jars and sitting on balloons.
We need to cover all aspects of the journey of entrepreneurialism.
And what that goes to show you is any fucking Yahoo can be an entrepreneur. Even guys like us that are talking about farts in a jar.
100%.
You know, you don't have to be too polished or the guy in the suit, right, in order to be super successful and meet some amazing people along the way. And so, dude, we appreciate you guys for real, dude.
Thank
it's been
so
awesome.
Getting these high-level masterminds so have high-level conversations like fart jars.
Yes. Get in there. Yeah. Not in the fart jar. Get in a mastermind.
You'll regret that.
So you could, but for real, if somebody wants to know more about Flowchat and how it could serve them and their business, if they're wanting to uptick in revenue, especially with, you know, doom and gloom of everything going on right now, people are getting scared and nervous. How's my business going to perform? It'll maybe perform better in what the market is going to be in a year or 2 years, 100%. Provided you
surround yourself again with the right tools or the right people and do the right things.
Sure.
You are your own economy based upon the decisions you make, not what's going on outside that you have no control over. And so make sure you're making the decisions that connect with where you want to go. Connect with guys like this that have the ability to take your business to the next level, but more so just surrounding yourself with a quality of people that have similar values that are just there to be of service. And they get just as excited about you getting sales as you do, you know? Yeah, and yeah, so yeah. That's what's super, super cool about it. And so was it just flowchat.com or where would they go?
Yeah, you can go to flowchat.com, but we'll give you guys in the show notes below this episode, you will have a link that takes you exactly to where you need to go. So you can go check out Flowchat by yourself. Otherwise, you can hit me and Chris up in Messenger as well. And
how would they find you on Facebook or on Instagram? Or is Facebook the best
to get a hold of you? I'd probably just go look for our free
Real
Facebook
Sean Malone.
Group.
Yeah. Just go to Flowchat Facebook group. What's it called? It's I don't even know what
Flow Chat
is.
It's official group. So if you just type FLOWCHAT Flow Chat, search that on Facebook, you'll find our free.
You'll
group.
See the closed yeah. group or whatever. Just hit request to be in the group, and then you guys vet them and let them in or whatever.
Flowchat.com is a great.
And what was the purpose to be in the group? Is just to get to know more about Flow Chat and some of the benefits of it and how it could be used in different. Ways of your business or
honestly, like this is a good example of why it exists. It's community. It's like just sitting down, having a conversation.
Entrepreneurs.
This guy's freaking cranking out sales gold twice a week. He's doing it, you know, like two.
So he's just going in there bringing value.
I've set it on your sales trainings.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Psychology,
dude.
Sales, like body reading, like body language and stuff. Language. He has some good
What's
stuff.
What's my language
dude.
Saying, bro?
Says you're badass, man.
I don't know. What about now?
No, he has some good training.
No, dude, I've spent a tremendous amount of time, energy, and effort in the last probably 20 years of my life to dissect the psychology behind sales. Like I talk about the primal brain and what it reacts to and why it happens, and then we go down the path of like personality profiling. We get into modality selling where you have like visual, audio, kinesthetic, and then audio, digital, and then like how to relate to those people.
Kinesthetic.
Touch it. Yeah. How's it feel, bro?
Trevor's in. He's sold right there. You know, hook, line, sinker.
So that's special. Yeah, that's kinesiology. I think you were doing that. It was like body movement stuff. Yeah, but yeah, kinesthetic is how
See,
it feels.
See, that's how smart I am. You can be successful at any knowledge.
But yeah, so like we have a budding, a blossoming YouTube channel. It's very small right now. It's just kind of where I put all those sales trainings and.
Where's that at?
It's just go to YouTube channel? And go flow type chat? In Flowchat.
Yeah.
Yep. It should pop up.
So Flowchat, Google, Facebook, YouTube,
this
wherever.
All over the place. Yeah. This is a crucial thing for everyone to hear. If you go to YouTube right now, you have to type in flow, second word, chat, and then we'll pop up. If not,
if you put
it's like, I don't know, like SEO, we have zero SEO at this point. Yeah. We were like at... We were at hundreds of thousands of dollars of sales before we even had a website.
Yep. Yeah.
We were like, and it's just important for people to hear. Yeah. Like those are nice to haves. Mm. It starts with talking to your market and connecting with them and solving real problems.
Truth.
We didn't have a name for the software before we had, I don't even know how many users we had before. What's it called?
That's true.
Like this,
before,
I actually looked at
I was
story.
In there before
yeah,
it was
Kale
Flowchat.
Was one of those people.
Yeah, you guys aren't overthinking it. You're just making moves.
Just do it.
You're just doing it.
I'm not saying that's always
go.
The best approach. Yeah. I'm just saying that prioritizing that, you know, like serving people, solving problems, like you're going to end up on the right side of the equation. We actually looked up thesoftware.com as a joke. You're like, what is it called? It's like
the software.
You guys trying to use the software?
Yeah.
The right? software.com.
I mean, the software.com. No, I looked at it. Was it too expensive for the joke? It's like, oh, that's not that funny. So yeah. I didn't do it, but.
Joke's on you now. Yeah, so you paid 10. How much you pay for the
I'm going to go buy it now.
Yeah,
I'm going to go
exactly.
buy it. Exactly. So dang it. So someone else is buying like, oh, he's going to pay for it. So
yeah.
That's another tip. You talk about entrepreneurs, don't say domains out loud because they will buy it and make you buy it from them.
Like we every time.
Dude, for sure. We spend big money on domains.
Yeah, we're in a bidding war now currently. We've got a few.
See, it's a thing.
Got a few offers, and I'm not going to tell you on which side.
You can't, because then people are going to
so, they can find out if we win the auction.
We never want the ones that are $12 anymore. Yeah. Where I was like, hey, let's see if that's
you
the
want
but
the
you
real,
look for
it.
We got a freaking bid on it.
I want that five letter.
That's
domain.
Why I told you, bro, it was onlyfans.net because that was $12.99.
Yeah,
the other one was taken by I don't know who. I don't know.
Winning,
somebody.
You know,
exactly. So, anywho, appreciate you guys know how to connect with these fine gentlemen. We appreciate your guys' time. That was fun. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
So,
you guys are. wonderful people. Thank you for leading the movement that you lead. And I think like if you guys are considering getting in their mastermind, do it. Right. We talked about it. Now just be real, man. Like these guys are the real deal. So get in
appreciate
there.
Appreciate it, man. Join the party. You guys are great humans too, man. Corey is like always like, let's get down there and see those guys again. So
I know. He's been saying that for like a year, I think now. Like, we gotta get to Vegas. We gotta get to Vegas. It's like so close, but
we
have
been on some
high
chats, you know. Like, I have that.
Anywho, guys, make sure you support these gentlemen. Good, fine human beings. If you have questions for them, you know they're here. They're of service. Make sure you're sharing this episode with an entrepreneur that is potentially going through a dark time, but one that might be starting out in entrepreneurship, or somebody that might be fucking sitting high on the horse right now, thinking they're king shit. But life's going to come at them and it'll find them and put them in that dark hole. Unless they humble themselves, life will ultimately do it for you. So appreciate you, gentlemen. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Till next week, kick ass.